You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Todd McShay.
The Jets, I have them taking Zach Wilson, the BYU quarterback, who after studying all the tape of these top prospects at the quarterback spot, I think based purely off of film that it's Lawrence, then there's a little gap, then Zach Wilson, then there's a gap, and then it's Trey Lance from North Dakota State and Justin Fields from Ohio State is that third tier, if you will. I have Wilson going too. It could be to the Jets if New York is able to move Sam Darnold and get some draft capital for him. But if they don't move Darnold, then I think they wind up moving out of that spot. And in that case, it could be a team like Carolina moving up from 8 to 2 to go get Zach Wilson.
The Michael K. Show.
Non and Dancy. Non Dancy.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, let's get right to it. Todd McShay has 10 minutes to give us, and we will gladly grab that. Our draft expert at ESPN, Todd, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. Hope you're doing well.
What's going on, man?
Not too much. All is good. All right, let's get right to it. Zach Wilson, we had Steve Young on Wednesday, raved about him, loves how he throws, his eyes pop out when he watches him. Has this guy come on lately, or has he always been that good? And just here on the East Coast, we didn't know that much about him.
He's always been talented. The thing was, going back to 2019, he had a shoulder injury and a thumb injury. And so he didn't play the whole season and just wasn't himself. This year, against lesser competition, he was dominant. And listen, no one wants to put the Pat Mahomes curse on him and say that, but he's got a little Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, Baker Mayfield in terms of extending the play and the ability to create after the initial play breaks down. And that's what I love about him. Now, there are questions. The durability is one, as I just mentioned. Why, too, is a quarterback who's a third-year starter, not the captain, named by his teammates? That's something that scouts are kind of looking through. But if you're just going based off the tape, I think it's very clear. Trevor Lawrence is number one. He's going to be a Jacksonville Jaguar. And then there's a little bit of a gap. And then Zach Wilson is two. And then after that, you kind of get into a debate with Trey Lance from North Dakota State and Justin Fields from Ohio State.
Now, let me ask you this. The gap between Lawrence and Wilson, how is it compared to the gap between Wilson and the other two?
I mean, Lawrence is once in a decade type of prospect. So there's a gap. It's a sizable gap. I would say it's probably a bigger gap between Lawrence and Wilson than Wilson and the other two.
Okay.
But the point is, Wilson to me, based purely off of tape and watching him as a player, is the clear cut number two player in this draft and clear cut number two quarterback, especially. And the Jets, in their situation, you know, if they can move Sam Darnold and get draft capital and the right deal to do it, then I think they move him and they bring in Zach Wilson as their quarterback. If not, then there are enough teams that really like Zach that I think will move up to that number two spot if the Jets wind up staying with Sam Darnold.
All right, so that begs this question, Todd. You've seen Sam Darnold since he got to USC. If you had to make that choice, and money was not an option because he's got a $25 million option after the coming season, who's better, Zach Wilson or Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold was better coming out of USC than Zach Wilson is coming out of BYU.
Mm. Okay.
You say money's not an option. You have to consider it, though, because it's fairly close between the two in terms of grade. And so if you're Joe Douglas, the GM, and you're staring at 4 first-round draft picks and the potential to trade Sam and get somewhere close in terms of what the potential could be at the quarterback position and get maybe a third rounder this year and a first rounder next year. Now you're talking about five first round picks and multiple second and third round picks to basically rebuild the entire roster for the Jets. So you have to be open to all the conversations and all the phone calls that you get. Again, I had Darnold slightly ahead of where I have Zach coming out of college, and it really comes down to money, and it comes down to what offers you get. And again, if you wind up with Sam Darnold and you stick with him because you can't get a good deal, then you try to move out of two, and a team like Carolina from eight moves up to number two, and then you get some more picks for that move. So I think they're in a really good position, and they're in a position of power, but they're not going to make any decisions probably until Carson Wentz gets moved and some of the other dominoes in terms of the veteran quarterbacks are handled.
So, Todd, you're high on Sam. Dan Orlovsky's high on Sam. There's a lot of people, and I am too. I still think there's a good quarterback there. How much of what's happened over the last 3 years do you blame on weapons and coaching?
A lot. I mean, 80%, let's put it that way. I think Sam Darnold has a chance to be one of the best 7-8 quarterbacks in the NFL. I really do. I think he was betrayed by an organization that didn't have weapons, that had injuries. They had to make trades. They had, you know, turnover at in terms of the organizational structure, the personnel department, and then the coaching staff. And then, you know, you bring in Le'Veon, and then Le'Veon's shipped out. You bring in Jamal, and then Jamal's shipped out. How do you succeed in that situation? And Joe Douglas, he understands that. He grew up under Ozzie Newsome, and he knows how to develop an organization. And what he's trying to do is build it from the ground up. And they haven't had any consistency for so many years. And Sam has been stuck in this spot where there's no one in the league that I think could succeed with the talent around him. So I believe if he gets a fresh start somewhere, or if they decide to stick with Sam and then build around him, that he will have success in the next couple of years. But they, you know, it's a very difficult decision to make at this point because he's been beaten up, and you have to wonder where his confidence level is with this organization.
Now, Todd, you certainly understand the value of a first-round draft pick, so, and you also know the greatness of Deshaun Watson. If the Jets would have a chance to get Deshaun Watson, would it be worth giving up all of that draft capital they have to give up and Sam Darnold?
That's a tough call because, again, I don't think their roster right now is built to have success with just one great quarterback coming in. I really don't. And I think that's the way Joe looks at it. Bringing in Deshaun would be wonderful, but what do we have around him? Are we putting him in a position to succeed? And I don't think Deshaun wants to go to New York, is kind of my understanding. I think there are some other places like Miami, potentially maybe Carolina, that he sees a better supporting cast and can go in and have success right now. I don't think he wants a rebuild. I think he wants to go to a place where they feel like they're one player away, kind of like Brady was with Tampa. You know, like Carolina, they lost 8 games last year by one score.
Right.
And you talk to Matt Rhule and the coaching staff, like they are dying to just, if they have that quarterback that can make that drive in the fourth quarter, they believe they can be a playoff team and make a run. And, you know, the same with Miami. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but I do not think that Deshaun is destined to be a New York Jet.
That's a really good point, Todd. I think people overlook that. There are just teams out there that are in a much better place. Now, let's suppose the Jets stay with Sam, because I do think that's likely to happen. What is out there, both draft-wise and free agency-wise, that realistically the Jets could make a play at right away to try to improve Sam's life?
Well, I think if you're sticking with Sam, then you move back from two. Carolina makes a lot of sense to make that trade, wherever it is, somewhere in the top 10, hopefully, for their sake. And then you get a couple picks in addition. And now you're talking about maybe 4 or 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. And you can get a wide receiver like Jamar Chase from LSU or Devontae Smith from Alabama or Jalen Waddle from Alabama, somewhere in that top 10 range. And then in addition to that, you you're able then to go back and maybe it's running back. Maybe it's a Najee Harris from Alabama or a Travis Etienne from Clemson, or you go somewhere on the offensive line too. So there are plenty of players, and I think the majority of it has to be on the offensive side. If you're going to stick with Sam, you got to protect him better. You got to get better weapons, and you've got to get a more complementary run game than what they've had in the last few years.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, final thing before we let you go, Todd, because I know your time is short. Did Justin Fields play himself out of the two spot because of that national championship game where he didn't play well, or is this just a body of work?
I think it's a body of work. I like him. I have him going number four overall to Atlanta. I don't know if Atlanta's going to take a quarterback because Matt Ryan and the salary cap and all of that. There are people that you talk to in the league that absolutely love Justin Fields. His accuracy is really good when he can see the receiver open. He can create, he can extend, he's competitive, and he played at a relatively high level in terms of competition over a two-year span. Compared to, you know, Trey Lance from North Dakota State, who played one showcase game against FCS competition this year and the same competition in 2019. The problem is he ready in terms of progressing from his first read to his second read to his third read? And I think that's the big thing when you talk to other GMs and people in the league. And from what I see on tape myself, how long is it going to take him to get from where he is mentally now to where he needs to be a high-level NFL starter? I think it's going to take a couple of years. So again, he could be the second overall pick. He could be the third overall pick. We'll see. But ultimately, I think there's not that big of a gap between he and Trey Lance from North Dakota State and Mac Jones from Alabama. I think those three guys are kind of that the third tier, if you will, of the quarterbacks this year.
All right, Todd, I know you have to go. We appreciate your time and your information as well. Thanks so much, my friend.
You got it, Gus. Have a great day.
All right, so, I mean, let's break it down for the people for what I'm hearing, and maybe Don and Peter heard it differently. I think Sam's gone. I think Sam's gone, and I think they're going to take this kid. I really do. Now, you know, the guy who spoke to the offensive coordinator said that's not true. He's not a captain. Todd McShay probably knows what these guys had for breakfast yesterday. He said he's not a captain, and that is a concern of the NFL people, and they're going to find out why. But you take a look. Sometimes you could judge a book by its cover. You take a look at this kid's face. I mean, the picture that Yes shows all the time. Every picture I've seen, he's got this big, broad grin. Good-looking kid. He's got the Jim McMahon headband around his head. I think he probably would love to be part of the New York firmament. And if they think that he's good enough and they could get a decent return for Sam, I think that's the way they're going to go. I mean, and I think Todd McShay is very, from what I've heard, is very close with Joe Douglas. I think they went to the same college. In fact, somebody told me today they might have been roommates in college. So he also brought up, Don, the thing that you picked out when we talked to Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas did not deny that $25 million was a big deal. He just didn't.
Yeah.
And you just heard Todd McShay say, well, you can't say that money's not an option. It's a big part of it. He's due $25 million in 2023. I don't think they're going to want to pay that. So they go with the younger player, and they develop him.
It's interesting because Todd's supposed to be close with Joe, right? So Todd could be telling him, listen, you got to take this kid Wilson with the number two pick. But he also seems to really, really like Sam Darnold. And that he could be a top seven or eight quarterback in this league. Now, you might say, well, I could do better. Maybe Wilson could be the best quarterback of the league. But if you have a guy that's already on your roster that could be one of the top seven quarterbacks in the NFL and – all you have to do is give him $25 million. You don't have to draft anything. You can use that number two pick to trade and get a bunch of weapons to enhance this quarterback. Is he in his ear about that too? Because there's value to that. Yeah, you don't want to pay the $25 million, but any quarterback you get, whether you trade for Watson or whether you draft Wilson at number two, it's costing you some of your capital to bring that guy in.
Well, very.
If Sam could be that good, Peter, and bang on the door of being a top six or seven quarterback in the NFL, then really the $25 million doesn't seem to pale in comparison to the picks that you're not going to have to use to go get the next quarterback.
I'm staying, based on what I've heard, I'm staying with Sam Darnold. Unless somehow Deshaun Watson became an option, and I really don't think it is. I mean, we're really getting the indication Deshaun Watson's not an option.
Right.
The Zach Wilson thing, and I just sat while we were talking to Todd, I was just watching a lot of Zach Wilson. He looks good. You know what his highlights remind me of? Sam Darnold at USC. He looks like a good quarterback. He could be real good. This sort of reeks to me of what my concerns were about Bradley Beal to the Knicks. It's a big change that's not that big a change. I would rather all these experts seem to believe in Sam. Don, you and I, we watch him. We seem to believe in Sam. If I'm a Jets fan, I use the capital for that second pick and I load up everywhere and give it a crack with Sam Darnold. I think it's, guys, it's not just like they had bad coaching. I don't even like that we've normalized what Adam Gase did. He was god awful. Awful. He didn't motivate. He didn't end up having good relationships with most players. Sam was, of course, the gentleman the entire time. But Adam Gase was a horrible offensive coach.
Am I the only – I mean, Sam Darnold had 22 interceptions at USC. We weren't talking about Adam Gase. This kid, Zach Wilson, against lesser competition, had 33 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. He has always turned the ball over. And I keep going back to something that Steve Young said – either was this year, the beginning of this year, or late last year. You got to play above the coaches sometimes. Did you see Sam do that?
Yeah, but here's the thing, Michael. We're having Todd McShay on, talking up Wilson to the point where we now are making it seem like it's the Bible now that this kid's going to be a great quarterback because Todd McShay said so, right?
But Todd McShay
also
Sam.
Said in the same conversation that 80% of the reason Sam's the way Sam is because of the coaching and the lack of weapons.
Wait, no, Don. And he also said, as much as it sounds like he likes Zach Wilson, guess what? He liked Sam more. And Michael, to your point about the stats that Zach Wilson has coming out of BYU, at USC against far superior, or at least somewhat superior competition, Sam in 2 years, 31 touchdowns, 9 picks, 26 touchdowns, 13 picks, threw for over 4,000 yards. I'm not saying Sam is flawed, but when you just said, yes, you got to play above your coach, that's what I'm talking about. That's doing a disservice to how bad Adam Gase was.
But let me ask you this, though. I mean, Todd said something that really startled me. He could see Sam Darnold be one of the top 7 quarterbacks in football. Can you guys see that? Am I just blind to something? And I like the guy. I want him to do well. I'm not seeing that. One of the top 7 quarterbacks in football. Well, if that's the case, that this guy could be one of the top 7 quarterbacks in football, then to me it's a no-brainer. You have to keep him. So if they don't keep him, why? Because the $25 million, as Peter said, if you're one of the top 7 quarterbacks in football, $25 million is chump change.
That's the point I was just trying to make, is that we can't selectively pick what we want to hear. I mean, if we value Todd McShay's opinion on Zach Wilson, then we have to value his opinion on Sam Darnold. He believed that 80% of the reason that Sam is bad is because he was playing for the Jets with a bad coach and a bad offensive line and bad weapons, or no weapons, right? And that I'm with you. $25 million is nothing compared to having to now get Wilson, who you don't know what he could be, and use the second overall pick to find out. So they have to decide what they think about Sam, but to me, I do see more. Now, I don't know if I'm confident to say he could be, you know, a top 7 quarterback in the NFL, but watching him every week, I don't think he stood any kind of chance. You heard Todd say there isn't a quarterback that could win with the Jets. So it's really about how you feel about him, but if we value Todd McShay's opinion, that is gold as far as Sam Darnold's concerned, what Todd McShay said.
If you look at the top of the quarterbacks in the NFL, the only one who really outperformed bad coaching is Deshaun Watson. He's really the only one. Everyone else who succeeds is on a team that has weapons and a good head coach. Deshaun is the one example. If he survived Bill O'Brien, and was still great, but he did have great weapons at one point.
And Bill O'Brien's biggest fault was his general managership more so than his coaching. I'm not even sure Bill O'Brien was nearly as bad as Gase was.
No, not from an offensive standpoint. He may have made some terrible decisions in key points in football games, but they had some sort of their play calling wasn't anything like how bad the Jets were.
All right, who was the worst team in football? The Jaguars, right?
The Jaguars, right, yes.
Okay. Gardner Minshew actually played well at times. He was benched toward the end, but didn't we see flashes of Gardner Minshew doing a really good job? Who's another bad team in football?
There are lots of bad teams in football.
All right, give me the bottom three. Well, I mean, how does it flesh out?
Miami would have to be there.
Which one?
Houston would have to be there. Obviously,
all right, Deshaun Watson outplayed his coaching. Go ahead.
Well, was the coaching the whole reason why they were bad?
But again, we're picking and choosing, so we're putting on the coaches for the
Jets. Like Doug Marrone. Doug Marrone was a coach that took a team to a championship game.
I get it.
I think Gase is like under magma as far as bad coaches are concerned. Okay,
so let's go for other teams with quarterbacks and see if they performed as poorly as Sam. That's all I'm saying. Give me some other bad teams in the NFL.
I mean, the Patriots had horrifying quarterback play. Minnesota had very average quarterback play, although he ended up, I think, with a decent
but
stat line.
But Sam, first, here's some knocks on Sam. Doesn't stay healthy. And he's average. We've seen average. And the team can't win. The team does not win.
But if you want to play this game, let's go through those teams and see if any of them have as bad a receiver core as Sam has.
But he had Robbie Anderson, who had a good year this year with Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina, he didn't rise above everything.
But wait a minute. Houston was a playoff team the year before. Okay? So obviously their head coaching was good enough to go to the playoffs and win a playoff game the year before.
Yep.
Jacksonville, you're a big fan of Doug Marrone. Doug Marrone had that team a few years ago in the championship game of the AFC. So Doug Marrone and Bill O'Brien are not great coaches. They obviously got fired. But they've shown you the ability of being like very good coaches. So I don't think you could just say, well, Houston was bad last year because they were just awfully coached. When the year before, they won a playoff game.
But they took away his best wide receiver. Now, Cooks had a good year, and he had right. close to 5,000 yards.
But I think the Jets were 2-14 because they had the worst coach in the league. And he's supposed to be an offensive coach.
Todd Bowles just showed that he's a hell of a coach. Might not be a but great he's not head an, coach, he's, but he's not inept.
He's not an offensive guy, and Bates, who was his offensive coordinator, is out of the league. And was out of the league the second he lost his job.
I think you are really, really taking a big, big chance if you're putting all of your eggs in the Sam Darnold basket. Because remember this, if you stay with Sam and it turns out that he's not good this year either, there aren't as many good quarterbacks coming out of college the next year. This year, there's at least four that are going to be in the top five picks.
But the same can be said for if Todd's right, and that he could be a top seven quarterback in this league with the right coaching and the right weapons and the right offensive line, in which you have to believe that the Jets are moving in the right direction with what they have. Well, then you don't have to give anything except money a year from now. Don't have to trade to get him. Don't have to take the second overall pick to get him. So there's just as much a chance that you decide to draft Wilson. You let Sam go. Sam ends up finding it someplace else, and Wilson turns out to be ordinary. That there's just a bunch of chance that can happen too.
Well, you got to. Here's the deal: they know more than we do. You have to have faith in Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh. They're sitting there evaluating Sam and evaluating Wilson.
But again, this isn't just me and Peter talking. I mean, Todd McShay he just said it. We had him on to talk about Wilson, so we're going to buy his stock in Wilson, but we're not going to buy his stock in Sam. So
I get what you're saying, but all I'm saying is that Sam has not risen above the ashes. Now, Mitchell Trubisky, everybody hates. Everybody. Chicago can't run him out of there fast enough. He had a quarterback rating 21 points higher than Sam. Sam's quarterback rating was the lowest in football. It can't all be coaching.
Because Nagy's a good coach. Nagy probably got more out of him than he should have. That's an offensive coach who's a pretty good coach.
But they think he's a terrible quarterback.
Because he is.
But he has.
But at least he had a fighting chance. At least he had a fighting chance. At least he had a coach. The thing you're arguing doesn't make any sense. Gase was maybe the worst coach in the history of football. I mean, he was so bad it's ridiculous. 2 years of Sam's career, of a 3-year career, was spent with arguably the worst coach we've seen maybe ever. That's how bad Gase is. He's not Nagy. He's not O'Brien. He's not Marrone. He's the worst quarterback, period. Awful. And the year before that, he had a defensive-minded coach. I love Todd Bowles. I'm happy he won a Super Bowl. He's a defensive coordinator. And Bates, who was his offensive coordinator, is out of the league. So you can't tell me this guy has been well coached.
Johnny Linehan, former BYU punter, tweeted out, "I'm not going to lie, when the initial captains were released, I was shocked that Zach wasn't one of them. However, it's more of a positive that he didn't let that impact him and went on to earn it and then be named a captain for the rest of the season." I don't know what that means. So you're not a captain, and then you became a captain at the end of the season, which might explain why he had the C on his shirt. So why was he not named captain at the beginning?
Maybe the coach didn't want too much on his plate. I have no idea. I mean, you would have to ask who makes
Johnny Linehan said the statement's misleading and that should be corrected, but he wasn't initially named as a captain. He became one during the season. Again, it's a non-story and really has no relevance. ZW is legit and a great player and teammate.
Yeah, I don't. How does it work, like Peter, in college? Does the coach designate the captains?
No,
the team designate the captains?
Players vote on
it. But what if there just happens to be a team where the other kids are super popular and have leadership roles, and
the quarterback has to be super popular, Peter.
Okay,
that's usually not the guy.
This is the media reaching. This is why people hate the sports media. This is stupid.
Not the media reaching. Teams don't cover this stuff. They measure your pinky to your thumb. They want to know everything about a guy.
The fact that he's not a captain, and now making up a narrative that means he's not respected or well liked in the room is stupid. It just there's so little information to grab onto there.
One more thing about Sam. Joe Burrow had an awful team around him. It was great. And even the backup quarterback for the Bengals had a 300-yard day. We never saw that from Sam. That's my point. I trust all the evaluators. They love him. I'm not seeing it.
Sam, and I'll tell you this. He may not be the same guy that he used to be. Last time I looked, Sam doesn't have A.J. Green lining up every play either. He doesn't have one veteran receiver that you can really count on for 900, 1,000 yards a year. He had 800 with Robbie Anderson 2 years ago.
And maybe there's a world where everything's equal. Joe Burrow is a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. Todd only went as far as to say he could be maybe the seventh or eighth best quarterback in the league. But for what you're trying to do, if I get a top 10 quarterback and not have to really do anything draft capital wise to get him, except pay him $25 million a year, which could turn out to be a bargain if he ends up being that good, tell me that's not an option.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to our good buddy, Jeremy Schapp. Outside the Lines is returning this week, and it has not been on the weekend since the pandemic began. So there you go. We'll talk to him about some of the stories I have this weekend. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.